You know, some moments deserve just a moment of stillness, just to receive those words. Thank you, choir, for that gift. Ooh. Good afternoon, First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem. There we go. Now, I would say I know it's a Presbyterian church, but I am a good Baptist. So if you want to respond today, just know I won't be upset nor distracted, okay? It is my pleasure to be here with you, and my sincerest honor to be here for the installation of my dear friend turned family, Lindsay Alvader Clifton. I hope to greet and meet many of you, but I do believe that there is a word for us today, amen? Our scripture today, you see it reads 1 through 19 from the Gospel of John, but I will be reading John 21, just verses 15 through 17 for our hearing. And it reads, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you,' he said. Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt and probably irritated because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" The word of God for the people of God. I like to preach from the title this afternoon, "Why is church great till it has to be great?" Why is church great? Or in my vernacular, till it gotta be great. Let us pray. God, whose hand is on the side of justice and whose love invites us into the possibilities of formation, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of coming together, of witnessing a new step, of affirming a new call. God, as I proclaim today, may the words that release from my mouth and the meditations that you hear on each of our hearts invite you more fully to this moment. I pray that all might leave renewed, reminded, ready to go forth and do the work of love that looks like radical truth and unrelenting justice. In the name of the one who taught us that to be a rebel to this world is to be righteous to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is church great till it gotta be great? In her 2019 hit, Truth Hurts, pop icon Lizzo asked a question that will forever be ingrained in the very DNA of my mind. You see, she asked, "Why are men great till they gotta be great?" Now, before anyone gets offended, hopefully she wasn't talking about you. You see, in this song, Lizzo wonders aloud about her dating life, naming that the men she had been dating could perform with such beauty and amazingness, could talk about their character, look like integrity, until it was time for them to actually put their actions in alignment with their words. Now, admittedly, Lizzo's question really started to make me wonder how many of us or our institutions can speak the right lingo, can post the right posts, can really be at the forefront of any agenda till it feels like it's right, until we actually have to put our practices in radical alignment with our proclamation. You see, First Presbyterian, so often we preach the rhetoric of Jesus and we tap ourselves on the back, okay, Holy Ghost, and we tap ourselves on the back as if we have somehow arrived to some place of ultimate greatness and justice. You see, we pray in Jesus' names and wear the regalia of Jesus' followers. We adorn ourselves in what institutions have told us are Jesus looking like clothes, or distinguish ourselves with titles and certificates that have been given to us in the name of Jesus. Now, none of that's bad unless the image of Christ-likeness does not match our practice. Then we must ask ourselves, why is church great till it gotta be great? See, Lizzo's question reminds us that the image of the ideal and the practice are two different things. And when these things are disparate, those most hurt and disappointed are the people for which we have pandered the image to so well. It's the very people we aim to serve who get caught in the crosshairs when our integrity gets muddy and our following of Jesus looks more like an adherence to piety than the prophetic. Friends, when we hear that question, I don't want us to be on the side of realizing we are only great in image, but not in substance. that we have painted murals across our walls recounting the works of Jesus, but not practiced across the world movements that actually do the work of Jesus. So I hear y'all, even though no one's talking back to me, it's okay. I hear y'all saying, okay, preacher, then what does this look like? How do we make sure that we aren't just being great until we actually have to be great? How do we make sure that this space, this place, this community is the work where the work of Jesus and justice is activated, not just visualized? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You see, this is where our text comes into play today. Now, Lindsay, I know you still might be singing that Lizzo song, but come on with me to the text. See, in our story today, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. He's resurrected and come back to make sure his folks are good before he leaves in body for good. He is sitting with them, and they just had an old school, fresh out the water fish fry. And then he turns to Peter. Yep, that's the homie that denied him three times. And asks him a simple question. Do you love me more than this? Peter, offended, but probably seeing that the question is reasonable, says, yes, of course. Jesus says, feed my lambs. He asks him again. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. He asks him again. And Peter, who is highly irritated at this point because he doesn't realize that these different invitations are not the same, says, Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And he says, tend my sheep. Lindsay, you see, for the longest time, I thought this text was equally as annoying as Peter. Like, Jesus, how many times do you need to hear this and say the same thing? But sometimes a good reread will get you together, or in common vernacular, will help you see with fresh eyes. See, as I studied this text, I realized these were three different invitations. Jesus is saying your declaration of love is actually not enough. I need you to do something. He is inviting them into a life that practices care, justice, systemic dismantling as a requirement for what it means to love Jesus. Don't see it? No problem. Let's look at the text. First, Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs. Now, as someone who grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, with no livestock nearby, it never occurred to me that lambs eat different than their older counterparts. See, newborn lambs need to be fed every 2 to 3 hours for the first 2 weeks of life, and then every 4 hours for the next few weeks. They drink milk like baby mammals tend to do as they are trying to get their feet under them in these first weeks before they can move on to more dense and more fruitful foliage. You see, lambs have just entered into the world and don't have the wisdom and the knowledge to graze, nor the digestive capacity for the grass that their older community members can take in. See, the gift is they aren't treated as less than. They are simply fed what it is that they can eat. They aren't judged for being lambs, because that would not even make sense. They are simply honored for where they are, because what we know about a well-nourished lamb is it can grow into a strong sheep. See, I've been told you are installing a pastor of formation and justice today. Now, even though, Lindsay, you've been here for a little while, I want y'all to know your partnership is yet still a lamb. See, when you stumble, be not dismayed, because Spirit's nourishment is available to you. When you find yourself feeling like you're having to take small steps, don't skip them, because they will prepare you for the bigger ones you are able to take once you've mastered those smaller ones. You see, when we honor the lamb seasons in our own lives, it's much easier to have the patience and act in love to those that have them around us. But the invitation is not just for this partnership between pastor and people, but also what that means for the community around you. So often when we think about justice, we think about the people that need to be where we are, and they need to be there now. We forget the times where someone counted it not robbery to offer us milk when we couldn't chew grass. The times where someone told you that what you said or how you acted reified systems of racism, sexism, heterosexism, ableism, classism, cisgenderism, just to name a few. We so quickly lose sight of the times that we were and the ways that we still are learning. You see, to be in God's kingdom doesn't require perfection, but it does require practice. See, feed my lambs. Jesus is reminding the disciples not to skip the basics. He's saying, you can't love me and not care for the life around you. You can't love me and despise those you don't understand. It's easy for us to think about this when we talk about those that we like to say less fortunate, but that's another sermon for another day. It's more painful to think about this when it means there's a person that's offended you. Or it's harder to think about this when it's no way, this person or this community has no way of giving anything back to you. You see, this invitation is about more than tithers. It's not about growing membership. It's about loving and tending to the creation in a way that requires patience, care, and a gentle touch. So many of us don't know how to give a gentle touch to others because we don't give them to ourselves. You see, a lamb will die without the consistency of milk and the belief that they can grow beyond it. So you have the opportunity to be a part of life. So as Jesus said, feed my lambs. Now in the second round of questions, Jesus says, all right, I told you about the lambs. Now take care of my sheep, which can also be read, shepherd my sheep. So you are feeding the lambs, but then there's the rest of the flock. You see, Lindsay, it's really hard to shepherd and take care of who you don't know, who tends to wander off and might need a little more help, whose wool is matted and might need some detangling or a good shear, who rolls together and perhaps using their group might be a way to teach us what it means to be community and not clique. You see, to take care and shepherd the sheep is an active role. And my favorite part of this is that the sheep can't go where the shepherd won't go. An unwell shepherd won't have a well flock, despite what the image may tell you. This means you've got to do mirror work while you're doing movement work. Now, beloveds, in this season, you're going to have to lean into practice to show others that they can too. This is not just about a leader or a pastor. It's about the whole community here. You might feel like a sheep in one space, but please know you're a shepherd in another. Folks are watching how you move and where you step. They are looking to see if you actually believe with your life what you speak with your lips. See, people listen to you as you talk about church and they watch you repost the sermons and quote your scriptures, but what they actually want to know is, are you willing to step into the terrain like the disruptor Jesus? Are you willing to always search for the one when you have the 99? Are you willing to go to distance? Do you take care of that which you've been given stewardship over? This looks like community relationships so that you actually know the needs around you. This looks like being a prophetic witness and doing the hard things, like letting your church split when you knew some folks were sitting on the side of violence. That's not easy work. So you've done hard work already. And this text says, keep going. It says, that's the witness. That's the work. That's the call of Jesus. Now, in his last question, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Again, I'm like, wait, how is this different? So we know the lambs are drinking milk from the udder, so it's provided for them with love from the flock and ensured by the shepherd. We don't despise beginnings, we care for them. We were then asked to take care of the sheep, so make sure the whole squad is good. Cool, we keep care at the forefront. But this call felt different, because this call is different. Feed my sheep. Sheep require an environment for them to discover on their own. You see, they graze. They got their legs, but we can't be mad at malnourished sheep when we're asking them to fuel where there's no grass, to be well where there's nothing to nourish. Your shepherd may be able to flourish where the sheep cannot, but that is not love. See, this last call is the systemic call. It's the hard call. Jesus says, yes, feed those who need extra help. Yes, take care of the flock. Access the needs of the community. But it is not enough to keep seeing the need and not change the system. You see, when the grass is no longer green, when there is no longer foliage, when systems of injustice have rendered some people's pasture uninhabitable while others have an overabundance, when Black lives still have to be proclaimed that they matter because the world reminds us that they don't, when LGBTQIA folks have to continually proclaim their pride because the world tells them they should be ashamed, when women have to say me too because violence tries to tell them they are alone in their experiences and their bodies are not their own, when our trans siblings have to carve days of remembrance because this world has violently taken away so many folks and tries to tell us to forget, I hear Jesus saying, feed my sheep. When gentrification is simply a long word for whitening an environment and new age colonization, removing people from their homes in the name of uplift, when COVID-19 has harmed all of us in some way, and yet still many of our essential workers don't make enough money to have the essentials they need to live, when AAPI violence has gone up considerably because racism is yet real and people don't want to take accountability for their own complicity with their hate rhetoric, Jesus is saying, feed my sheep. When storms are quite literally destroying communities, putting them underwater, and some of our best efforts are sending thoughts and prayers. When houselessness is a massive issue in this country, when we've had buildings sitting empty for yet 2 years, when our prison industrial system is built off the underfunding of schools to make money off of new age slavery, when food insecurity is prevalent, not because we don't have enough food, but we seem to actually believe folks can just figure it out. Now, I know you might be weary of hearing it, but just imagine the folks having to live it. I hear Jesus crying out, feed my sheep. Shift the environment. Change the system. Burn down the evil. Do the work not just to attend to the reality, but do the prophetic work of shifting it to create new ones. Be active in changing policies. Be intentional about pushing the envelope, because that is where Spirit lives. That's where new worlds begins. That's where Spirit wants us to go, because that is the inbreaking of heaven here on earth. You see, we must be critical of our own privilege and put it on the line when necessary, because despite what we may think, when one of us is hurting, it hurts all of us. When one of us is being treated horribly, we are all actually responsible. When one of us doesn't know love because someone that had the words wasn't willing to do the work, it is our reasonable service to feed the sheep. So as you step into this call, First Pres, as you partner in this work, to anyone under the sound of my voice, as you claim to love this rebel named Jesus, hear this call. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, beloveds, before I take my seat, I just have to tell you what really blesses me about this story. It's such a short text, but it's so good. You see, Pastor Lindy, listen on then. Jesus was so intentional, and the gospel writer wanted us to know. He didn't just give them these instructions in an isolated event. Remember, I told y'all they had just had a fish fry. So if you just read a little bit higher, you see that Jesus wasn't saying, feed my lambs while they sat there hungry and malnourished. He didn't tell them to care for sheep while treating them poorly, having them wondering what it meant to be taken good care of. No, see, he shows them love so they know what it looks like to then give it. And what I love most is that the text tells us that none of the disciples asked who he was. They knew it was the Lord. He didn't have to introduce himself. He didn't need a bio. He didn't need a pamphlet. He didn't need a robe. They knew who he was. Now, some scholars, and I love them for this, like to make it very deep and say, you know the ethereal and unmistakable presence of Jesus. And I love that for us. And also, I think they knew who he was because this wasn't the first time they had been fed like this. I think they knew the way Jesus seasoned the fish just right and made sure there were plenty of leftovers. See, they had seen him feed the 5,000. They knew a Jesus that counted it not robbery to sit amongst those considered the least of these and break bread. See, they knew the stories of fellowship with folks like Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and the man tormented by evil in his bodies. These disciples didn't have to wonder if it was Jesus because they had sat with him, not only heard his voice, but could feel the tenderness of his heart, and knew that he also was longing for a world where the ethic of love would reign and the fight for justice would be relentless. So Lindsay, my deepest prayer is that in this role, they might know you by your love. That looks like practice of the prophetic, so your witness will be rooted in the truth of your work. My hope is that you might always know Spirit by the love you receive, that you are simply responding to do likewise. That when you are asked, what's the work you're called to do, you might respond, I feed lambs because I know what it meant to be fed by the shepherd, even when I had to start off with just some milk. I take care of sheep because I know what it means to have someone else see something that wasn't quite right with me and count it not robbery to be a part of the solution. I feed sheep because when environments told me that there was no place for me, Jesus activated through my community and activists and other folks whose work shifted policies and perspectives that allowed me to graze new spaces and to grow. You aren't alone. Something tells me that you are a shepherd among shepherds. Something tells me that as y'all work together, this community will change and our world will be better for it. So to this congregation, may you count it not robbery. I hope the work of Justin isn't just a tagline, a position title, or an image. That when we say formation, it means that we are ready to grow, shift, and change form when necessary. I'm told that you have already made radical decisions, and I say keep on going. So what I say to this partnership is do the thing. Keep it going. Show the love of Jesus, not just by what you say, but by what you do. May this church be a reminder of what Jesus invited us to. And if I do say so myself, I think you found one of the best in the game to partner with. Amen. See, that's what I was waiting for. Amen. And perhaps together, when you hear this question, why is church great till it gotta be great? You can say, that ain't us. You can see it as an invitation to make sure that your proclamation of Jesus' love and declaration of Jesus' work shows up as your activation towards the work of justice, the tenderness of formation, and the possibility of inbreaking a new world that we all might be able to flourish. And let the people of God say, amen. Amen.